to another episode of the Oge Show. My name is Oge, and if you're just joining us for the first time, what we do on this side is we talk about societal issues via opinionated discuss. We invite guests from other different walks of life, from different ethnic groups, and the rest of them, just to impute, because mostly what we talk about here concerns us as humans living in Nigeria, living in the world, and all of that. So if we scroll down after listening to this episode, you see the episodes that have aired before, and you can listen in. And if you like us a bit so much and you find us really, really interesting, I know we are interesting, rather, so just hit that follow button. And you can also follow our social media pages, The Oge Show, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter to get updates and, you know, join in on our conversation.
Education, 25.
By the time I was 25, I was already a graduate. I graduated at 22.
Okay.
So I was already working, and thankfully, it wasn't in that place at that point, because I didn't know what would have happened. So, and my quarter life crisis didn't just start like in my mid-20s. It's just my late-20s, that's actually when it started. Not because I've never had this broodings, like, what do you want to do, where are you heading to, what is your purpose, what have you done, everybody's better than you are. You know, there's always this nagging thing that people are always better than you are.
Yeah.
So I didn't really pay much attention to those things until I was in my late 20s, until I was 27.
Wow.
That was 27. Or maybe 26, late 26, 27. That was when I started having such broodings. So thankfully, it wasn't during my university days. And thankfully also, Cambridge is not really what you do. It's not a normal school. So it's never really affected my education.
Mm-hmm. So, that's it. Okay, so when you turned 25, How did you feel? What was it like?
25. I don't know what it is with 25. Universal forces, spiritual forces. I don't know what it is, but that age is one age you can never joke with. When I turned 25, it was a new dawn. I feel like, okay, you're no longer a baby.
No, like, it hits me.
Yes, like,
it hits me. Like,
you're no longer a baby. You're an adult now, and you're a full-fledged woman.
Yes.
So pick up yourself. Like, you have to keep doing things. Starting with me, I've always had this obsessiveness for clean things, I became more obsessive about things, like things being in the right places immediately I hit 25, because somehow I just wanted to have control. And it spilled over to my physical life. You know, I wanted to have control of my emotions. I wanted to have control of my thoughts. I wanted to have control of everything happening around me, at least to a certain extent. And I thought that having to place things, you know, somehow all those things, those psychology, it boils over and it comes up physically. So I became more obsessive, like keeping things here. The curtain has to be folded like this. I have to fold my clothes like this. You just have to do this. You have to maintain. Funny, as in, you have to maintain this line of cosmetics. I know some people don't even pay attention. Like, you can't be experimenting.
Skincare.
Yes, you can't be experimenting with everything. You can't just use everything. You can't just be using everything, no matter how safe it is. You just have to maintain a line of cosmetics. So that was it. 25 was a turning point for me. It was really massive for me. There was no brooding. I was not brooding. But there was this, you're not even in a relationship.
that part. I was getting to that part.
Even in relationship, I was like, oh, I don't care. I didn't care then. You're not this, you're not that. Like, I was like, yeah, but I think I still have 5 years. And I started making I started making more plans. You know, growing up, I've always had these things I wanted to achieve, but at that point in time, I started paying more attention. I just started paying more attention, that is it, to everything.
No, I know that when I turned 25, it was like life just hit me. I felt like, oh, I'd not done enough. I've not achieved enough. In fact, now that I think about it, I've actually done quite a lot for myself before I turned 25. But to me, I felt like it wasn't enough. Like, I had not achieved anything just because I had not gotten my first degree. Do you understand? Yeah. So I felt like it was not enough. Even though I had a CV filled with...
so many work experiences.
But because I felt like I was underachieved. And then you start your peers from secondary school, mm-hmm. and you know that you were supposed to be class of 2012. Like, let's say you entered school immediately after, or 1 year after graduation, or even 2 years after graduation. You're supposed to look like 2012, 2013, 2014. And then you're looking at yourself like, oh my God. And you're looking at all those people, you're checking your social media feed.
Oh, social media.
And the rest, and you're like, oh, wow. And then you're seeing those that are turning 25 and just getting married immediately, and you're looking at yourself
people
like,
who are not,
you don't have a man.
You don't even have a man.
Yeah.
You don't even have a man. Or you don't even have a partner. I mean, like, for those people who are bi, like, you don't even have any.
Or people that are into polyamorous relationships.
Yeah, you don't have anything.
Nobody's calling your phone on a steady and telling you,
you know,
please let me just take you out on a date.
At that point in my life, actually, when I was quite younger, I've always had this very wide imagination, and I always told myself, like, by 19 you should already have your first child. I didn't know how it was. I didn't know. And somehow I had a child before I was 19. Oh. You know, when you were...
I told myself, growing up, I'd already planned my life. I'll be done with secondary school by 15. By 21, you should be a graduate. You work for like 2-3 years. Give or take 25... You should be married and expecting your friend. That was the plan I had for myself as a child. Like, that was the template I laid down for myself. But I realized that growing up, certain things happen, and then you turn 25, you brood over certain things, mm-hmm. and then you realize that I don't think that plan would have worked for me. Yeah, I don't think I would have been happy.
Very unrealistic.
Very unrealistic.
Because there was no way you would have been in that place emotionally to handle certain aspects of your life at that period. I'm always thankful that I didn't get married at 20, 21, because I had this mouth rush then. I was just thinking the other day, I was like, if I was someone's wife at that age, like, what would I bring to the table?
Nothing, just stay at home.
Nothing, like, stay at home, have a child. What would have happened
stay
to my
home,
dreams?
Stay at home, wife and mother.
What would have happened to my dreams? But one funny thing about quarter life crisis is that it only happens to people who are achievers.
Yes.
If you're purposeless, you won't have quarter life crisis. Because you push yourself too much, that's why you have quarter. There's this zeal to want to achieve more, to be in a better place. Someone who is not given to ambition may not experience.
Yeah, that hunger is not
that
there.
Hunger to you know, all those brutes, mood swings, depressions, and all that and all that. So it's a normal thing, actually. At first, I thought it was normal.
I think the one thing I'm still struggling with today is managing my finances. I used to be extremely bad with money. I am better now, mm-hmm. but I know I'm not
as you want
good
yeah.
as I would want to be. So what was it like? What has it been like, your finances?
I grew up in a family where I was given responsibilities at a very young age.
Yeah, first child.
I was not first child.
I'm speaking first child.
As a second child in the family, mm-hmm. my elder sister was not always with us. You know, she went to a boarding house and all that. And I was there, you know. And my mom is a teacher. She was the head of school. And it was a whole lot of faith. As a lot of faith group of schools. She was the head of school and she had so many things to do, and I had this younger ones to take care of. So because of that, exposure, it gave me a kind of restraint towards finances. Mm-hmm. Because then you'll be given a certain amount of money and you're told this money is for lunch. Actually, that's how it starts. Financial responsibility. You have to use this money for lunch, for this and for this. And you know that if eventually you misuse that money, you will never accomplish. And my parents were quite very, 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 very disciplined. As in, they were disciplinarians, very, very strict. So, you know, I just grew up and grew up and grew up and had this financial management capacity. I was never having... Okay, if you have noticed something about me, I don't get something until I need of it. I don't...
Yeah, you're not an impulsive buyer.
Yes, I'm not an impulsive buyer. Wow. I'm not an impulsive buyer. I'm not an impulsive spender for anything. Do I want good things? Yes, I want good things. But these are, you know, it just has to do with
priorities.
Like, I had my problems during my quarter life crisis. I had things I was very much bothered about. There's no measurement. There's nothing to measure to say. There's no yardstick to say this is exactly what you should experience in your quarter life.
Yes,
mine might be economic, financial. Yours maybe
emotional.
Emotional.
Yes, emotional.
Yeah, and otherwise, someone, it may be isolation, romantic, kind of all that and all that. So mine was not on the financial aspect. But I was worried. I know I was worried about how much I had in my bank account, how much money I was making.
And my own is, I've always made money from a really wrong age. I've always been quite industrious. I always wanted to do something to fetch people.
Yeah,
so even in secondary school, used to do what's it called? This coconut candy. Get coconut. I'll buy coconut.
Oh, with sugar.
Fry it with sugar. Package it in the nylon. Take it to school and sell. Then during the weekend, I would because we live a bit close to the road.
Okay.
So I'll just fry them, put them inside a bucket, this transparent plastic bucket,
mm-hmm.
and cover it and put outside there. And I was selling it for 50 naira. Mm-hmm. I was making good money. Until one day, I don't know what happened. I did that stuff for 2 months. I don't know what happened. My dad just came back one day and told me to stop. Because according to him, he felt like I was becoming too engrossed with money. Mm-hmm. So he didn't want me to think money was everything in life. But hello! Money is basically everything. So that did not even stop. Secondly, I was in a dance group. We're dancing for people, events and stuff. We were earning money on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I finished secondary school. I remember while I was still going for post-UME and stuff, I heard that. This one, I did not tell my parents about it. I was 15 or so. I heard that there was this... I think that's when McVitie's, they recently opened
the biscuits.
Yes, they recently opened this plant at this stadium road here. Then, and I said they were looking for people to come and market the biscuits. So, me now, and I went. I did not tell my parents. I left. When we got there, they gave us cartons of biscuit. I told us to come and hawk the biscuit. When you finish, they'll pay you for that day. Before evening, I'd already finished two cartons. Like, I am very good with sales and marketing. I can sell anything to you. Just give it to me. So I finished two cartons. I collected the money. I came back home. I got home by 7. My parents were already back. They're like, where is this girl? They punished me. My dad asked me, where is the money? They punished me. But I had, of course, I did not go back after that day. Because the beating my mom gave to me. Yeah. So you know when you've always been industrious and stuff, and then on your own, this when you said that they give you money, tell you this. They used to give us like I and my sister, we always went to the same school.
Yeah.
My dad would give my own money, give her own money and stuff. Sometimes he would give it to me and be like, it's for you and your sister, lunch, transport, and all that stuff. And we had to use it. At some point, we now decided that, you know what, we'll remain 100 naira. We have a balance of 100 naira every day.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of us paying transport back from school, we'll walk with the other students. We'll trek back home. Do you get? Mm-hmm. And we bought saving bonds and we're putting that 100 naira. We're like, school resume in September. From September to December, we'll save. We'll see how much we'll save. By December, we'll break it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll use the money and buy ourselves something for Christmas. But it wasn't something my parents were really comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's money, I've always made money. I've always been, I've always been industrious, making money and stuff. But my problem is management, because...
Management, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, how have you been able to manage your finances?
Okay, first, I have the best rule. Buy what you need.
Okay.
Buy only what you need. So with that rule, I've always I can't sort of just go out and start buying anything. Before I buy anything, I'll ask myself, do you really need this? I remember there was a time I went to the market and I saw this pair of trousers. They were really looking beautiful. I love them. But I couldn't buy them because of that rule. Because once I raised it, that rule came to my head. Buy only what you need. How many trousers do you have? How many trousers of the same color do you have? So what is the essence of buying this? Is it better? It's not better. Is a beautiful trouser good? You like to buy it. But what need can it sell at this present time? Nothing. So you don't have to buy it. You don't need to buy it.
Okay.
So that's the first rule. Buy only what you need. The second one, I opened an account. Okay, I've always had this, my parents, this how they've always had this account for us, like when we were kids, just have to grow up and they just try to make little contributions. So when I got out of school, my first salary, again, I was paid my first salary, which was peanut though. What I did was that I opened another account and I started splitting my money. Let's say I had like 20,000. What I did was that I tried to save 10 out of the 20,000. Then keep the, like, okay, I don't want to mention banks or something. So I put like 10,000 in bank A and 10,000 in bank B. I have ATM to bank A. I have no ATM to bank B.
Okay, that's what saving.
Yes, and there was no internet banking at that time.
Queue all the time.
So I can, and I don't have patience for wasting time. I don't like to waste time. I don't like to waste that. So I had that 10,000 there. There was no way I can assess that money. There was no way I could assess that money because I'll have to. And I never kept it in a bank where I could always walk into. Okay, I kept it in like a bank that is not very popular and which is not very close. So So there was no way I could walk from my house, pay transport, and queue for hours to collect money out of 10,000. So because of that, somehow it was a part of discipline. I was just disciplining myself, and I had to learn to make do with what I had, what my ATM could. I always remind myself, and what I did was I splitted my money in my head, like 1,000 for this one. I had this budget, yes, and everything. Like, this is what you will need for the for the week. Like, if I get paid, I was by 21. I was already on my own. I was already staying on my own. I was already, So I would tell myself, out of this money, you have to buy foodstuffs. Make sure there's always food stock. Always check your food stock. Which of them do you need to replace? Replace those ones. When you've taken care of the necessities, then whatever surplus you have, if you feel like not saving it because I've already had some money saved up, then you can use it. But because of the way I've disciplined myself to have this so much control over money, I wasn't using them. And another thing I did was that I it's good to read motivational books on financial management and yes. all that. I've always had plans of what I wanted to use money for. Okay, like I would say, I would love to buy this. So if I have surplus for this, I give myself time. I tell myself, like, okay, I want to buy a deep freezer. How much is a deep freezer? 120,000. That's the least I can. Is that, am I okay with that size? Okay. Can I afford it? How much do I need to buy this? How much do I need to take away from my income to buy that? So I don't go back to the money I save. That is my seed money. That's my seed money. So I cannot eat my seed. So I keep that money. I go back to this one. And I will try to see if I can find a way to sustain myself and still have a little left. Even if it's 500, what I do is that I'll transfer it to that account where I do not have access to. I'm telling you practical things I did. This is for me. So I transfer the money. And I keep, sometimes I deny myself things.
Yes.
I just learn. Like, if you have to get to something, if you want to achieve something, you have to make sacrifices. And I understood that. So I was making certain sacrifices. Like, I know there was a time I had money, like, to do whatever I want to do. There were no much responsibilities. But I couldn't use those money to do all the things every other normal girl would have done. I kept those money. I just kept them aside. So I tried as much as possible to save. At the point, I had to break my ATM card. I have accounts, with different banks. There are some. I don't download their app.
You don't even know.
I don't have their ATM cards. Do I have much money in them? No, I don't know if I have. I may not have more. I know my balances. I try to keep, because of course you don't want someone to tamper with your hard-earned money. I know my balances, but I don't keep the app. I do not keep the app. Why is it that someone will say, "Oh, they will take your money without informing you or something"? I have. You always have notification.
Yes.
Nobody takes money from my account without me knowing. The only thing is, I cannot do online transactions and I cannot do physical transactions. I don't have the ATM cards. I don't have the online banking. So the money stays there. So no matter how much I'm tempted to use it, even if I want to use it, where is the app? So those are like three ways. There were other ways I did like Akawo, I don't know,
yes, of course.
Yeah, all these contributions.
They've turned Akawo, they've modernized it. It's not Carrie White, Piggy Vest,
whatever. Like, you know, I had these groups too where I was making contributions.
Okay.
So it helped me. It helped me a lot. So these are ways I still do them. I'm still currently doing them.
So okay, so what was your relationship like?
Doing quarter life. But I've always had this. I've not always had it smooth with relationships.
Yeah.
So what I mean by relationship is. Relationship generally.
Yes, your relationship with
everyone.
People,
yes.
Intimates, and the
rest
of it. Relationship with everyone.
Just from your life.
I'm not talking about just a man.
Yes,
yes,
it's
that.
Like, you've not really had a relationship with people. I am this very happy but introverted person. I'm always on my own. I'm always on my books. Like, do I love you? Yes, I love you. But I will be the least of the people to come to your house. I'll be the least. Even if you say, oh, let's go out and catch fun, I'll have to remind myself, okay, you have to go.
I promise this person.
So that's the only way. So I'm not always being... I'm sociable. Like, I relate with people normally. But do I have a best friend? No. That's like, I don't have that thing. I don't have that thing people do. I would love to, but this is the person I am. So my relationship with people has not always been that very, it has always been very shallow and not deep. Once in a while, I kick it off with a few persons, but then it just,
okay,
yes,
it fizzles out, yeah,
that's it, yeah. That's how it is for me. When we talk about romantic relationship, I've not really had very romantic relationship. I've not had like very good romantic relationship. I'm not talking about the men not being good, as in not being, you know,
good enough
or something like that. Sometimes it was just me.
You weren't ready.
Yeah, I wasn't ready because I've always put my dreams at the forefront. I'm a very ambitious person. So, I make demands in relationship. I don't mean monetarily. I mean, I make demands. I've always been this person that I know what I want and I go for it. I know exactly what I want and I go for it. That if I go for it and it turns out that is not exactly what I want, I try to see if I can make some adjustments. If I can't make adjustment, I let it go. So I don't do what they call pitiable relationships. Like, you have to pity this person. Yeah, I don't do that. So that was where I had a problem. I had problems with relationships. Okay, I had quarter life crisis and relationship were a problem. Because at a point, I couldn't get what I want. It gave me concerns. Like, I was very bothered about it.
At some point, did you feel like your standards were too high?
Did
you feel like you needed to, you know, tone
yes,
you down?
Yes, yes, yes. At the point, when I was 26, I thought about it and I was like, hey, I think you need to
calm down.
Yeah, you need to, maybe these things are very unrealistic.
Yeah.
They're very unrealistic. Not like they are very unrealistic, but you have to understand that the world is changing. You have to understand that the world is changing. Your parents must have, maybe they brought you up with this certain understanding of how things work. But those were their times. Are those things, are they as obtainable in your time? So you have to understand your environment, understand your time, and be able to make demands based on what you have available. So you don't have to be idealistic. You know, reading... I'm sorry if you read, like, relationship, life coach, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I don't do that.
No, I'm just talking about, there are people who do that. It's good. Well, one thing I learned all along is that life is unpredictable.
It's not. What,
you can. Yeah, there's no blueprint
for whatsoever.
There may be principles, few principles, you know, but that doesn't mean that all that principle, every of those principles works for every person. Some people have unique situations. What you think must have worked for like 10 people may not work for one person. So you cannot say, so this is how it works for everyone. So because I was listening to motivational talks about relationship, I have this perception in my head, you know, things like, I'm going to give an example, because if you grew up in a Christian house, I had things like, you shouldn't visit the man.
Yes.
You shouldn't wash his clothes. You shouldn't cook his meals.
Until you're
very much married. I'm not even talking about the sexual part. I'm just talking about this part. You have to be in a setting. You have to behave in a certain way. Sometimes you don't really have to let him know your feelings. But the truth is, it does not work like that for every person. So at that point, I had to make some adjustments quickly.
Yeah, because some people actually like expressive women.
Yes, expressive women.
And all of that stuff.
Why
most like them? Bashful.
Reserved and all that. So I had to make those adjustments because this is what is obtainable in my environment. This is what is obtainable in my life. And as long as it does not hurt anyone, I'll just have to be malleable. So that was it.
Okay. Well, we've come to the end of today's podcast. It was really nice having you again.
Thank you.
Actually, the part, the finance part and all that, I think I borrowed a leaf or two from what you've said, and I'm going to try and put into practice and see how works for
me. Sorry, may I say something? Making investments too is actually good. Like, there are too many things to invest in. Actually, investments are very good. There are too many things to invest in. You can get this, get that. So while your investment, you can't have the physical money, but it's yielding something.
Yeah, it's yielding something for future purpose.
Yeah, so that's another one.
Okay, thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Next time. I don't know when I'm going to speak. Thank you for doing this. Alright guys, if you enjoyed this podcast a bit too much, and if you like hearing from me, you want to be hearing from Ogi every Friday, please favorite this podcast and also follow our social media pages on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The handles is The Ogi Show on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Again, do not forget to favorite this podcast. Until next week, bye for now.